You're listening to a download from Camden Community Radio.
www.ccradio.org.
Welcome to Camden's Community Radio Christmas edition of What's On in Camden. If you're feeling festive, listen on.
And as well as the What's On in Camden, we are going to play one of our favourite Christmas stories from a couple of years ago. And Violet
will be telling the story of winter swimmers in Hampstead Heath.
If you're getting bored of lying around like a sack of mouldy potatoes, hiding away from the cold and the Christmas crowds, then why not go to Holborn Library? On Tuesday, the 19th of December, there will be a reading of seasonal works by local writers performed by actor John Levitt. Admission is free and there's sure to be an interesting variety of stories and takes on the festive season.
The new one-man performance, Man on the Moon, will be showing exclusively at the Camden People's Theatre on Tuesday the 12th and Wednesday the 13th of December. Man on the Moon is a thought-provoking story about a girl who reaches out to a reclusive father, told through the use of poetry and letters. So head down to the Camden People's Theatre this week to see this enthralling four-star performance that explores themes like cultural displacement and misplaced masculinity through the Black British experience.
A Camden family, two sisters and their aunt, are joining forces to put up a pop-up shop on Hastings Street, which is just off Judge Street, near King's Cross. They'll be selling bespoke furniture, furnishings and scented candles. They are also passionate about cupcakes, so expect heavenly Christmas flavours and decorations on sale too. Come along and support three local businesswomen in Tamum, 5 Hastings Street.
The ponds on Hampstead Heath have been a popular spot for swimmers since the 1860s. And who doesn't love a frolic in the water on a warm summer's day? But the Highgate Lifebuoys are a group that take their love of swimming even further, taking to the North London ponds all year round. The group, founded in 1903, ran a Christmas Day race which has only been cancelled twice when the ice was too thick to break. In the winter of 1964, Chris Rucco, a member of the Highgate Lifebuoys and owner of Rucco's Tailors in Kentish Town, told the BBC that swimmers were undeterred by the conditions. It was solid ice, so we had to swim in an area 20 foot by 10 foot, he said. Nothing ever stops us. It's worse when the air temperature is much colder than the water temperature, and then there's a film of ice on the water. When you dive in, it doesn't matter how quick you are, but by the time you've got under the water, the ice forms over the hole again before you come up. The festive event remains ever popular, with about 200 people taking part last year, but health and safety regulations mean that they can no longer swim when it is icy. If you'd like to try your hand at windswimming, but aren't quite ready to take the plunge on Christmas Day, the Parliament Hill Lido will be holding an event called the Chilly Dip on the 4th of February. The £20 entry fee goes towards funding the Lido support for life-limited children and their families. Our very own Freddie Chick is here to enlighten us. If you are going to go plunge into some ice,
yes.
He has a very early childhood memory.
That's right.
Of how to survive.
Thank you, Violet. Yes, if you are going to go swimming in the icy pond, first of all, I'm sure it's not that bad. And second of all, I was saying that I remember an early episode of Blue Peter when I saw one of the presenters swimming in the Arctic. And he was told by Royal Marines who were training him to swim in the Arctic to shout his name very loud over and over again when he got in the water as a way of avoiding shock. So do that at Hampstead.
Brilliant.
Yes, well, that is swimming in a pond for you. Now, we're going to end with Rob Inglis's reading of a Christmas carol that he did for us in the studio here a couple of years ago to Anne Carroll and Marion Larrigy got him in, and Rob read Dickens's Christmas carol in his beautiful and unique way.
Marley was dead as a doornail. He and Scrooge had been partners for I don't know how many years. Scrooge was his only friend, the only mourner at the funeral, yet even Scrooge wasn't terribly cut up by the event, but was an excellent man of business, and on the way back from the funeral made several transactions. Scrooge never painted out Marley's name after Marley died. There it stood above the door, Scrooge and Marley. Now, sometimes people new to the business called Scrooge Scrooge, and sometimes they called him Marley, but he answered to both. It was all the same to him. Oh, but he was mean, was Scrooge. A tight-fisted hand at the grindstone, a squeezing, wrenching, grasping, clutching, covetous old sinner, secret and self-contained and solitary as an oyster. The cold within him froze his old features, nipped his pointed nose, shriveled his cheeks, stiffened his gait, made his eyes red, his thin lips blue, and spoke out harshly in his grating voice, Nobody ever stopped him in the street to say, with cheery voice, My dear Scrooge, how are you? When are you coming to see me? No beggar ever asked him to bestow a penny. No child ever asked him what it was o'clock, even. Would you believe this? Even the blind men's dog seemed to know him. And when they saw him coming on, they would tug their owners into doorways to avoid Mr. Scrooge. But what did Scrooge care? This is exactly what he wanted, to edge his way along life's pathways, avoiding all human warmth. Once upon a time, of all the good seasons in the year on Christmas Eve, old Scrooge sat busy in his counting house. It was damp, bleak, biting weather, foggy withal. It hadn't been light all day. The door of Scrooge's office was open that he might keep his eye upon his clerk, Bob Cratchit, who, in a little room beyond, a sort of cell, was busy copying letters. Scrooge was so mean he only allowed himself a small fire, but the fire he allowed Bob Cratchit was so much smaller, it seemed like one coal.
"A gentleman to see you, sir," said Bob Cratchit.
A portly man entered. "Scrooge and Marley's, I believe. Have I the pleasure of addressing Mr. Scrooge or Mr. Marley?"
"Marley's dead. He died 7 years ago, this very night."
"Ah, Mr. Scrooge, at this festive season, it is more than ever important that we make some provision for the poor, thousands of whom are in want of common comforts."
"Are there no prisons for the poor?"
"There are, but as they scarcely provide Christmas cheer, summers are getting up food and drink to provide the poor with means of warmth at Christmas. What shall I put you down for?"
"Nothing."
"You wish to remain anonymous?"
"I wish to be left alone. I don't make myself merry at Christmas, and I can't afford to make idle people merry. I pay my taxes to support the prisons and the workhouses. That costs enough."
"But many would rather die than go into the workhouse."
"Let them die. There are too many people in the world as it is. Good afternoon."
"A Merry Christmas to you, Uncle. God bless you." It was Fred, Scrooge's nephew, who entered so suddenly it took Scrooge unawares.
"Bah! Humbug!"
"Christmas a humbug, Uncle? You don't mean that, surely?"
"I do. What's Christmas but a time for paying bills without money? You're a year older, not an hour richer. If I could work my will, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips should be boiled with his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart."
"Oh, Uncle."
"Oh, nephew, keep Christmas in your own way and let me keep it in mine."
"Keep it? But you don't keep it."
"Let me let it alone, then. Much good may it do you. Much good has it ever done you."
"I've always looked on Christmas as a good time, a kind,
generous warm time, and though it's never put gold or silver in my pocket, I know that it has done me good and will do me good, and so I say, God bless it.
Hear, hear, said Bob Cratchit.
Another word from you, Cratchit, and you'll keep your Christmas by losing your station.
You're a powerful speaker, nephew. I'm surprised you're not in Parliament, sir.
Don't be like that, Uncle. Come, have Christmas with us tomorrow.
Bah!
But why?
Why? Why did you get married?
Because I fell in love.
Because you fell in love? Because you fell in love? Humbug.
I've made this visit in honour of Christmas, and I mean to keep the spirit of Christmas in my heart, come what may, so a Merry Christmas, Uncle Scrooge.
Good afternoon, and a Happy New Year.
Good afternoon.
On his way out, Fred wished Bob Cratchit Merry Christmas, and Cratchit, cold as he was, wished him Merry Christmas in return.
Here's another fellow, my clerk, Cratchit. I pay him but 3 shillings a week. He has a family to support, and the fool still goes about wishing people Merry Christmas. I'll retire to the madhouse. Well, Cratchit, I suppose you'll be wanting the whole day off tomorrow?
If quite convenient, sir.
It's not convenient and it's not fair. If I was to stop your wages 0.5 crown, you'd consider yourself ill-used, I'll be bound.
But you don't consider me ill-used when I pay out good money and get nothing in return.
It's only once a year, sir. That's a poor excuse for picking a man's pocket every 21st of December.
But I suppose you must have the whole day off.
Be here all the earlier next morning.
You are listening to a podcast from Camden Community Radio.
www.ccradio.org.